Today, all over the world, we are gathering. In large groups and small. In different places and different languages. In buildings and schools. Empty spaces and open fields. In our homes and on our phones. Some come together in freedom, while others have to meet in secret. Some will sing the old hymns, while others are singing something new. We'll all learn different things from the same Bible and worship the same God in different ways. We are the church, the body of Christ, different pieces molded together by the hand of God. Today, all over the world, we are gathering as one.
I want to open this up by thanking God for this ministry, for this day, for this specific time. For this specific time is the time we set aside for worship. Amen. So let's give God a little of our time. And for those that are truly His children, it's going to be all day long that you give Him your time, because you're going to go back to Him for this, for that. I want to know about this. I want to know about that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Amen. Are there any praise reports at this moment? If there are, come forth. Well, if not, then we will move forward with our lesson today. I'm still thanking God and rejoicing. Now, last week we had quite a time getting started. It seems as though our system got hooked up last week, and I don't know what happened. It just went all awry, and we had to shut the program down and reload it back up, and everybody had to log back in. So we want to thank God for the day. Thank God that He's worked things out, and thank Him for being Him, for being there for us, for loving us, for caring for us, for never giving up on us when we gave up on ourselves. So listen, if there are no praise reports this morning, and I know there are, a lot of you might not think so, because it's ordinary for you to be blessed. It's ordinary for God to come to you. So there is no biggie. But I just know that God is blessing all of us each and every day. So I got a praise report right in my heart, and I know you all do too. Amen. Listen, there are no other announcements that I can think of at this moment, but there is one that I'd like to say to each and every one of you, that you are welcome, welcome, welcome in this space that we call worship. Worship. Amen. Come on in. As we get started today, I want to give you just a little bit of history of what we've been going over. We've been talking about the battle of the Christ. Jesus Christ or the Antichrist. Amen. So I want you all to prepare yourself, because we talked about that battle in the first lesson. And in the second lesson, we talked about discernment, you know, how to discern the things of God. What is discernment? Because God gives us those gifts freely, but discernment is actually a tool that can be used by believers that read the word, that study the word, that meditate on the word, and that stay close to God, because God will discern things right in front of you. He will discern people. In other words, He will show them to you so that you may make a proper decision based upon the word of God. Discernment is a good tool for every believer to have, because you can see trouble coming. You can see somebody coming by the way they shape their head. They finna try to start a little trouble. Okay? That's discernment. Letting you know beforehand. Sometimes you know before anybody around you even knows. That is God's discernment. He gives it to his people. So that you discern things about your life, about others' life, and about the things that are going on around you. Stay on your post. You may be needed. Know that God placed you where you are for a reason and for a purpose. Amen. So listen, we're going to get started with our lesson. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Father, we thank you for this morning and this day, for you gave us a brand new mercy, brand new grace. You gave us breath of life. You gave us insight and eyesight and many other tools that we have at our disposal. Thank you, Father, for being our Father, and we thank you for choosing us as your children. We invite the Holy Spirit of promise into our lives that we may hear your voice today, Lord, unhindered, unchecked by any force or any other thing upon this earth that could distract us. We also thank you for Jesus, that he is our Lord, Savior, King, that he took all of our sins and nailed them to the cross. So as we repent and ask for forgiveness, we are forgiven, Father, for he is worthy to be praised. We're talking about Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you knew us before the foundations of the world were created. That you called us, Father, long before now, so that we may hear your voice, that we were your children, that you will see us through. For you are worthy, Father, to be praised. And Father, we pray for those that had it not, those that are seeking, those that don't know God, those that want to find God but don't know how. We pray that you raise somebody up somewhere to use their power that God gave them, the influence that God gave them, the abilities that God gave them to reach out and touch this person and lead them to Christ. And thank you, Lord, for this great day. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, amen and amen. In the name of Jesus, let the word flow. Amen. Today, our message, we will continue on in the battle of the Christ. But today we have a different message for you, which is good. Today's message is called Accessing the Power. Accessing the Power. Brothers, sisters, and beloved in Christ, today we are gathering to reflect on how accessing the incredible power of God for our lives. Today, we will access that power. Too often, we look to the world, our own strength, and our resources to navigate the struggles of this life. But the truth is, real power that we seek comes from none other than God himself through Jesus. Amen. Because none of our hookups or the knowledge that we have or the systems of the world will truly get you what you want. They may provide a momentary solution. But if you want everlasting, you go to God. You go to God through Jesus, and that you keep him in your presence at all time. This is what our message is about today. We think of, or we focus on our life in him. His teachings, we're talking about Jesus. His sacrifice, that it causes our hearts to realign. Our motives gain attention to God's will, and we want to do what God's word says that we can do, and we want to have the the things that God said, his word, that we can have. Amen. Now, right now, we renew our minds to gain access to his transformative power. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, we are reminded that through Jesus, we can enter into a rest. Now, the question is that most people have on their mind was saying, what is a rest? Now, for the believers that have been in the Word for a long time, you know what I'm talking about. But for the new believers that hear this message, they need to know what a rest is. We use our minds in ways to learn to do things. Amen. Our friends, our hookups, and our connections, and everything that we know how to do to navigate this landscape, if we use those tools, we are not resting in God's peace. Let me add some foundation to the tools or the tool that we call resting. And why should we call this tool resting? And why is it called resting? Well, I'm glad you asked, because these are good questions. What is a rest, or what is resting? And it is a tool for God's people. Now, let me add some foundation so that we can give you some, an idea why we're resting and who we're resting with. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 this morning. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. Pick up those swords, open them up, let's go. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Are you there, Bible scholars? Let's go. Verse 4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. And he did it in love. Now, this scripture is stating that God chose us, or he chose you in Christ before the foundations of the world, and that your purpose for being here is found in Christ. Jesus the Christ. Now, I don't want you to get it mixed up with the Antichrist. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 49 and 1. So we know first off that we're here and that God picked us out, chose us before the world was created. Amen. Now, Isaiah 49 and 1, this is what it says. Listen to me, you islands. What is an island? An island is a separated piece of land. And when I look up separated, in this context, it means no longer living together, but living apart. Now hear this, you distant nations. That's what the rest of the scripture is saying. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me from my mother's womb. He has spoken my name. Okay, Elder, you still have not explained this tool called rest. Okay. In the book of Hebrews, we are reminded that through Jesus, we can enter into that tool that God called a rest. Now, what do we know so far? Number one, that he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. And number two, before I was born, the Lord called me from my mother's womb by my name. Now, that's what we know. Now, let us turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. And let's go just a little bit deeper. Now, put your hats on because we're going to travel a little bit today. And put your boots on because it's going to get a little bit deep. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So who is he talking to? He's talking to God's people, the people of God. That's who this rest is for. Verse 10 says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also have ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now, what is he talking about? Well, okay, I'll explain a little bit further to you because I'm glad that you asked. What he's explaining to you is that what the first scripture I read to you, it says that he went to before the foundations of the world were made and he established you. He built you. He made you. And number two, what happened? In your mother's womb, he called you out to holiness, right? By your name. That means he knew your name before you were born. Now let's go on. It says that there is a rest for the people of God. It also said that he has rested from his work, because everything has already been created, it's already been made. So now what happens next? The Bible in chapter 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Labor means you have to work at it. We have these framework, these bodies that we fight with all the day long. And we're fighting with following the world, following God, following yourself, you know, making your own decisions, or let God make them, who created you, who knows what you're supposed to do, who knows where you're supposed to be, who is sending blessings to those locations because you are supposed to be there. And when you are there, you receive those blessings. Now, he said, let us labor. So we have to work to do that. It's not easy to put your own feelings and emotions and all the things that I can do for myself. It's hard to put them aside and follow God, someone you can't even see. It says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, what is he saying? Well, he's saying that if you don't believe in what he's doing and what he's did for you already, then you will walk into the area or the assignment of unbelief. Amen. Verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow. So let me go back and explain some of these things to you. It's telling you the word of God is quick and powerful. When you go to pray to God, when you ask God, Father, what do you want me to do about this situation in the name of Jesus? His word is quick and powerful to come right back to you. Amen. So you got to be listening for God to come through when you ask in Jesus' name. And it says this word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Can you see the soul? No, you can't. The soul is the mind, the will, the imaginations, the emotions, and your intellect. And there's a few other tools, but you can't see them. And you cannot see the spirit. And then it goes down to the joints. Can you see a person's joints under their skin? No. What about the marrow? The marrow is on the inside of your bone. Can you see that too? No. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Now, this is a big one here. Because we got people out here that are such good actors and actresses. They need an Academy Award. Okay? Because they can fool anybody. And the Bible says in the last days and times that they will be fooled, or they will fool the very elect. Who are the elect? The ones that are sitting on the front row, that read that Bible every day, that pray every day, that know the word of God, that do all kind of good things. These are the elect. That they will be fooling in the last days and time. But only those who don't seek God are to rest in his peace, asking him about this person. Lord, reveal their heart to me. Show me what they're doing or not doing, or show me why they're in my life. You got to go to them. Just, you know, a lot of you feel like, oh, this is too small to go to God for. No, it's not. Because if you want to be where God wants you to be, if you want to receive that blessing that he sent to that location or your address that you're supposed to be in, then you need to go to God. Rise up, believer. Do what God is telling you to do. I'm talking about the beloved in Christ. Amen. This is what else it says. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest. What does manifest? Made known is a word, or clear or obvious in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And we talking about Jesus Christ now. Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest, we talking about Jesus again, that is passed on into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. Or your confession. What are you confessing? That I'm a child of the Most High God. That's what I'm confessing. I'm confessing that I'm faithful to him. And if I miss him, I repent and ask for forgiveness for being unfaithful. Because he is yet ever faithful to us. Even when we're not where we're supposed to be and we're not doing what we're supposed to do, he is faithful. So what other reasons keep us from accessing his power? I'm talking about the power of God right now. By resting in the powers of God to know our future, because he created our future. He created everything. Now, whether we meet up with him at those points and times. And that's everything you do every day. Amen. I want to clarify that to you. Pay attention, because it's going down. And I'm telling you, it's going down. If you look around outside, it is going down. People are doing everything. I mean, there's lawlessness everywhere. People get a medal for being lawless. Think about it. And they've got many compadres around. Now, many of you have been traveling on the Jericho Road. Okay, what is the Jericho Road? If you're reading your Bible, the Jericho Road symbolizes a journey fraught with danger, moral challenges, and decision-making all the day long. This is why you feel that way You feel alone. And many of you have become weary and war-worn. Why do you use the word war-worn? Because we go through many battles in this life. And sometimes we can't see the victory. We think that we lost and we lost for good. But that may have been what God set up. He don't see it as a loss. He see it as you moving along the pathway he has for you. You may need to move from that person in order to go where he needs you to go. So you think he won, but you actually won. And because of that, you know what I mean? All the stuff that you've been through, that's what I mean by that. Because of that, or the things that you've been through, your speech has become somewhat negative. And your faith has become, pay attention, sometimey. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But heaven has been speaking to you all along the way and looking out for you all along the way, the whole time. But you may not could hear because the devil may have blinded you. And when he blinds you, the Bible says you cannot see afar off. But if you're praying, reading the word, meditating on the word every day, your discernment will come into play. And discernment will show you deception. It will show you a true God. And it will show you a false God. Keep your eyes open. Amen? Now, this is very important. You have to do this now. Keep your faith and belief in the Father. Keep your faith and belief in Jesus. Why? Because God will do what he said he will do. Now that you know that the tool of resting in his peace is to go to God for all things for your answers, your decisions, and your directions. There is one other thing that you must do. You have to keep your faith. Why? Because faith is your activator. Well, what do you mean, Elder? Hebrews 11 and 6. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. This is what it says. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's the creator, that he will do what he says he will do, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You don't seek the world. You don't call your partner your bestie. You know, you don't call grandmother, grandfather. You get on your knees and you call on the Father in Jesus' mighty name. And be quiet and listen after you ask your question, because the word is quick and powerful, because the power is going to be in the word and what he tells you to do. And it may not line up with what you see, because this is where, excuse me, many people miss God because it's not the way they thought it was going to come. He didn't say what he thought they would say. So they go and do just what they thought, and not what God said. And that's why you end up in the faithless category. Your profession of faith is not whole or real. You have to follow God because he created all things. the creator. I say it again, the creator of all things. If you sit around and you sewed a dress, who else knows how it goes and knows how to get there? How to fix it up? How to start at the bottom and go to the top? Or did they start at the top and go to the bottom? Did they put the arms in the right place? Did they put the neck even? Does it have the straps to tie it at the back? The person that created it knows how it goes. So that's just a very small example, but just think about it. This is what I do have to tell you. Speaking negativity. And negativity is criticism, pessimism, defeatism, doom and gloom can kill your blessings. This is what it says. I'm reading this to you because this is one of the most, I say, used ways to kill your blessings. Psalm 45:1. It says, my heart is indicting, and indicting means writing or composing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching my king. This is the most important part of that scripture. It says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Now, it's telling you, my tongue is composing some parts of my life, some parts of my faith, some parts of my belief system. The phrase, your tongue is the pen of a ready writer, suggests that you can speak life or death to your blessings. The phrase, your tongue. Remember, what you say becomes life. Words are life. Speak life so that the seed that you planted, the things that you started doing, okay, they represent life. They come up and bless your life, or they don't happen at all because you cursed them. And when I say curse them, you talk negative about them. You have talked about with belief in your heart, you cannot talk negatively and expect God or heaven to move or speak negativity to your life, or when you speak negativity to your life. Oh, I just said that because so-and-so was around and I don't want them to know my plans. No, you just spoke death to what you have been praying and believing for. You don't have to tell anyone about your plans or your whole life. Just don't tell them. But you, if they ask you a question, you don't have to lie to them. Just don't. I don't want to talk about it. And don't talk about it. Yeah, because some people will try to get in your way, stop you, talk negatively, spread all your business over the community. But just don't tell them. If they figure it out, fine. They cannot stand in the way of God. Colossians 3:2. This is what it says. It calls us to set our minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. This is the essence to refocus our lives. When we set our hearts on the things of God, we grow in discernment as we rest in his peace. We learn to take all things to God in prayer. That's what resting in God's peace is about. That is a tool. Okay? This is something that you use to be in the right place at the right time and doing the right thing. It's a tool. When we do that in prayer and in faith, we are then able to make wise decisions because they already been made for you. And when you do that, the word of God, the spirit of discernment will open your eyes so that you recognize temptations and deceptions. Did you hear me? It's all centered around the word of God, your faith, your meditation on the word, your prayers. These are the tools that God gave us as believers, as his children, the ones he called our name when we were in our mother's womb. He knew our name before it was here. That is the person that you are praying to. When we do that, he shows us the traps and snares of the enemy. As we operate in these principles that God made for his children, then the door swings wide open for you to access the full power of God. That means you're not alone. You think you're standing there, but God has angels everywhere doing all sorts of things. And he assigned an angel for you too. You have your angels. They're there. When you speak God's word, they move. As we operate in these principles God made for his children, then the door swings wide open and we have full access to the power of the Creator. And when God speaks, all the earth and all reality must bend and perform what God said will happen, and it must happen. Stay focused. When we focus on Jesus and his finished works, the works that he did on the cross, we gain access to everything that God has for us. He gave us the Holy Spirit, which is another tool that we use to better ourselves, to hear the word of God, to stay in connection with him, to stay in communion with him all the day long. John says, John 14:6. Come on, scholars, let's go. This is what it says. Jesus said unto him, we're talking about species man, man, woman, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Amen. Accessing the power of God begins with focusing on Jesus' finished works. It is through him that we enter into that rest that God has set for all of his children. We find strength to overcome when we access the transformative power that is within God's word, within God's rest. This is what Jesus negotiated for all of us. Amen. As we walk in humility, in worship, in obedience, and service, we align our hearts with God's will, his perfect will, and we invite his power into our lives for now and forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the angels. We thank you for all the systems that you have in place. Faith, belief, love. Okay? We've got many other weapons that God gave us. These are tools that we use to benefit and the glory of God's kingdom. We pray that your will be done in our lives. And we invite the Holy Spirit all day long. And Lord, teach us how to pray without thinking we got to get on our knees every time we pray. Teach us how to pray in our minds as we walk, as we talk, as we do anything. We're praying and staying in contact with the Father. Glory to your name, Lord, for thy name is great. And I pray that as we're out there in obedience and worship, that we provide a service to those around us by leading them back to the Word of God, to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit, and to the other things that God has for all of his children. We thank you for all things in heaven and in the earth. Lord, we pray for the sick, the shut in, the homeless, the hungry, the elderly, the widow, the little children, Father. We pray for them, that they too be abundantly supplied by the kingdom, by Jesus, by the Father, by the Holy Spirit, and by their faith, by all the words that they speak in life. We pray that they be blessed also. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, amen and amen. Man. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, we give glory, honor, and thanks to him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb of God forever. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name we worship you. Amen. Amen to the Father. Amen to the Son. Amen to the Holy Spirit of promise. Thank you, Father. Now I want to say to all of you, I want to thank you for all you've done, all you're going to do. I want to thank you for all the gifts of love that you've sent in the past. We need for you to continue to contribute to the kingdom of God because we have expenses and bills just like you. So continue to give from your heart. Ask God and do what he tells you to do for this ministry. And if we've given into your life, if we've sown seeds into your life with these messages, okay, then you ought to sow into this ministry so that we may continue to grow and prosper in the Word of God and send it out not only to a few, but to many, so that the harvest in Jesus' name may be great. All right, we're going to have those up in just a minute to how you can give. And we thank you that every spiritual and natural need is met. In thy son Jesus, we pray also for your families that they are well. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray today. Amen and amen again. This joy that I have, give it, the world can't take it away, take it away, take it away.
Take it away, take it away. This joy that I have, my Father gave it, it's for you and me.